This is The Efficiency Point, a podcast from Modern Pumping Today magazine. I'm MPT editor Jay Campbell, along with our producer, Seth Saunders. You can find us online at mptmag.com, and please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on any of your favorite podcast apps. On today's show, Jeff Krimmel of reliability analytics company Pinnacle joins us to discuss their recently released Global Economics of Reliability report. We also preview the August issue of MPT, as well as our selections for featured exhibitors at the upcoming WEFTEC show in Chicago. So let's jump right in. This episode of The Efficiency Point is brought to you by the Watson-Marlow Fluid Technology Group. Watson-Marlow has revolutionized industrial pumping technologies and overcome fluid handling problems that cause other pump types to fail. Watson-Marlow scalable pumps and flexible kink-proof hoses are helping thousands of engineers improve the reliability, safety, and efficiency of their process. This equates to cost savings that are critical to sustaining competitive products and services. Since 1956, Watson-Marlow has developed a global network of fluid transfer specialists to help businesses overcome the most challenging engineering problem. Backed by a diverse product range, developed and engineered to the finest tolerances, Watson-Marlow works with you to fully understand your process and provide world-leading engineering solutions. Find out more at WMFTG.com. Reliability analytics company Pinnacle recently released its second Global Economics of Reliability report, which analyzes the impact reliability has on water and wastewater treatment industries. Built on direct operational and financial data from a diverse number of domestic water and wastewater operators, this report found that expenses on operations and maintenance are growing more quickly than capital expenditures, a sign that operators are underinvesting in assets today, sacrificing potential improvements in reliability and productivity. Jeff Krimmel, Director of Data and Market Analysis at Pinnacle, joins us now to offer the details. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me, Jay.
Before we talk the numbers, what are some of the influences leading water and wastewater operators to squeeze extra life out of their existing assets through maintenance spending?
Yes, that's an issue that we had thought quite a bit about when we were contemplating putting this report together and what path we wanted to pursue, both analytically and then just from the perspective of, you know, how we wanted to investigate the space more generally. And, you know, what we found, it's that there are themes that have existed, you know, are well known, well publicized, but they have real interesting manifestations in the operational and financial performance of water and wastewater treatment plants. And what I'm talking about are, you know, the broader impacts of climate change that we're familiar with. And then, you know, specifically, we have, some more acute stresses like what we see with COVID-19. There's just general public health implications that are growing, you know, both in scale and severity in time. And so those two macro forces, in addition to, you know, a bunch of ongoing industry-specific trends, mean that operators are trying, and for the most part successfully, to harvest more and more value out of assets that are already in place. And so where we sat, we understood the forces that were pushing operators in that direction. We also understand a lot of the successes that operators have been able to accumulate to this point. And our feeling, and it's the feeling that we, you know, see when we interact with a lot of stakeholders throughout these industries, is that we're probably coming to the end of the gains that we would expect to see by trying to harvest more life out of existing assets. There are specific techniques that we propose with our customers here at Pinnacle that we're able to see more value that you can, you know, extract if you're very deliberate with how you gather data and analyze it and utilize it for decision making. And you know, there's broader approaches around, you know, renewed capital investment levels that will allow operators to short circuit some of the most painful elements of trying to harvest more life out of existing assets.
And certainly a lot of operators are trying to extend the life cycle of their existing equipment. We hear about that all the time. But also in many parts of the country, capital investment in water and wastewater is often tied to municipal budgets, and they're reluctant to spend money on new assets. But is this kind of a circumstance where it's penny wise and pound foolish?
Yes, that is a claim that we would make, and at the same time recognize that's an easy statement for us to make, right? To claim that, well, if only as an industry we were looked out onto the horizon and were able to see past immediate pain points, we could build a compelling case to invest more aggressively in our asset base than we have to this point. So it's an easy claim to make, and it is borne out by the data. What's very difficult is, it's exactly what you mentioned, that there are very real budgetary constraints in place. And so it's not as easy as, well, we have access to endless amounts of capital, so of course we'll just deploy this toward every reasonable looking opportunity and capture all the gains that we would expect to get as a result of that. So there really are difficult decisions to be made around, the capital that's available to us today, what fraction of that can and should be reinvested, and what fraction of that really should be steered toward the maintenance of existing assets. And even once you have that split, then you get into some real, delicate decision-making elements around, if we know exactly what we want to invest, of all of the opportunities that are out there for us to invest, which ones are most attractive? And so it's a conversation that we wanted to kick off in a sense with this report. I mean, there's no sort of single answer. There's no lecture style outcome where any one entity could just stand up and say, well, here's the right answer for all of us. So clearly, if we just do this, we'll be in great shape. This is a conversation. It is it involves a pretty nuanced approach to data capturing, organizing, analyzing, strategizing around all of that. And so our report, we wanted to help inform, hey, these are the ways that we are thinking about these kinds of problems. These are the tools that we're using. This is what we think we can see from the data that's out there. And we want to invite others into that conversation, because while the current approach, we would argue very much is, penny wise, pound foolish, it's a cost that we are capable of avoiding, and we can really capture the gains of being, more deliberate around our investment approaches. But it will take some effort to get there.
And it's tempting to talk about infrastructure as an expansive nationwide project, but water and wastewater, like you said, it can vary so greatly depending on the region. There's no one single answer. How difficult did that make collecting and organizing the report's data to build that big picture?
It's a great question, and it hits very close to home, thinking about the effort that we went through in collecting all this data. And the source data for the report that we built we largely found it through annual reports, budget documents, capital improvement plan documentation, from some of the largest municipalities around the country. And like you said, it's easy to talk about infrastructure writ large, but every one of these utilities has a different mix of assets that belong under this infrastructure umbrella. And then, just on a facility by facility basis, we can see a very different mix of assets at that level, much less at the portfolio level of assets across a whole utility. So it's something that did immediately present some challenges in terms of introducing some apples to oranges effects in the data analysis that we were looking at. And while we acknowledge that, it wasn't particularly problematic in the sense that the kinds of observations that we're pulling, the way these reports are built, we call them the economics of reliability reports. We purposely zoom out a bit to try to understand, with different sectors of the economy, what are the financial resources that are being dedicated to solving problems related to reliability. So it's necessarily, we're taking a wide lens here, and we're zooming out a bit because we find it's very deliberate, because when we zoom in very narrowly on reliability and talk about it at the scale of an individual asset, say, we can very quickly find ourselves into suboptimal solution spaces because we haven't zoomed out enough to see how that one asset lives in the context of a system, whether it's a subsystem or the greater system in which it participates. And again, we can zoom out all the way to the portfolio level for any particular utility. So this idea of reliability being a multi-scale challenge within this industry, leads to these kinds of apples to oranges effects. Fortunately, where we're trying to steer this, the observations we're trying to make, the engagements we have with our customer base, this is the level we start at. And then we acknowledge there is this special snowflake element where every utility really is a special snowflake. Every facility is a special snowflake. So you do have to take care to appreciate that the solution in its totality in one place, you wouldn't turn around and implement that same solution elsewhere. What it means is there are different conversations that take place at different scales, depending on what questions we're trying to answer, what solutions we're trying to uncover. And so we just take great care when we participate in these different conversations to know, you know, what questions are the most relevant to the conversation at hand, and make sure we steer our language and our analytical efforts accordingly.
And just like there's a cross-pollination of different wastewater and water facilities from place to place, I guess I should bring up that this report is a follow-up to Pinnacle's Economics of Reliability report for the global refining industry. So what lessons can water and wastewater operators learn from the oil and gas industry to improve their reliability going forward?
Yes, that's something that was top of mind as we were considering how we wanted to build out this water and wastewater report. Like you mentioned, back in Q4 of 2020, we published the first Economics of Reliability report. There, we covered the global petroleum refining industry. And as you would imagine, there are real similarities between petroleum refining and water and wastewater processing, but there are very important differences. And one, you know, element in terms of lessons learned that we believe can translate from petroleum refining over to water and wastewater is this notion of having a systems focused, of having, studying and what I'm talking about from the system perspective is understanding if we look at a petroleum refinery as a system of assets that's composed of a bunch of subsystems of assets that we could analyze in isolation if we chose. A lot of the most important gains that we're trying to capture when it comes to reliability optimization, we can find when we study aggregate performance. It's one thing to zoom all the way into a very specific asset and understand how might this asset fail. And if we understand that, then we could say, okay, well, how long, what's the remaining useful life of that asset? And then what might be an appropriate cost-effective strategy to mitigate some sort of reliability-related failure of that asset? And that's all very appropriate and needs to occur, every day at different parts of the plant all over the world. So those are all necessary. And what we have found is you have to couple that analysis into an understanding of this whole plant as a system is functioning at some specific level. In the world of petroleum refining, they talk a lot around availability and utilization. So how available is that asset base? And what one thing we try to do with that report, and then we try to do with our specific engagements with customers, is really understand what's the opportunity cost of not having that whole system more available than it already is, or what would be the economic value in utilizing that whole system a little more than we already do, and is reliability a core constraint to that incremental performance? For many operators, the answer is yes. Not for all, but for many, it is. And so once we understand that, then we can kind of break the reliability challenge down and go all the way down to the asset level. So one point we were trying to make with this water and wastewater report was to encourage operators, much like we encourage ourselves when we engage in these kinds of conversations, to marry up the very low-level asset-specific conversations and analyses that absolutely need to occur with the system-level views, with the all-in financial and operational performance of the utility holistically as it relates to how it's delivering to its customer base, and then start to bridge those two analyses. And it's in the middle of those is where we find some of the most interesting reliability improvement opportunities.
Well, you're certainly making a convincing case. I guess my next question would be, what are the challenges preventing investment in water and wastewater assets for the coming years?
Yes, it's related to part of the conversation that we had earlier around budgetary constraints. It's we're in a very different space when we talk about water and wastewater processing than we are with global petroleum refining for a bunch of different reasons, one of which, and we don't have to dive too deeply into it, but it's the access to capital markets and who ultimately decides how much capital to deploy, where that capital is sourced from, how the business or the utility may respond to increasing debt loads, and how they want to manage around different cash burdens, liquidity burdens. And so it's a very different challenge when we're talking, you know, in the report, it's public water and wastewater municipalities that we're discussing. And so that public angle means there's a hyper-focus around affordability, which should absolutely be there. This is a public good. We need to make sure that water customers and wastewater customers receive the service that they expect to receive at affordable rates. That's of paramount concern. And so we understand it's one of the reasons why we wanted to dive a bit more deeply into water and wastewater through this economics of reliability report apparatus, because we feel like there's even, frankly, more returns to reliability optimization in this space than we see in other privately owned complex facility operations. And so knowing the importance of affordability, knowing there isn't endless access to capital, knowing there are many vulnerable communities that are being served by these utilities and require a certain service level that needs to be met continuously. There's no opportunities for failures, routine or otherwise, mild or catastrophic. That's a very interesting challenge that water and wastewater municipalities face. And we feel like reliability optimization is one way to address these resourcing burdens. It's one way to unlock some capital that would otherwise be deployed in trying to, as we talked about earlier, extend the life of existing assets. If we can find a way to more optimally maintain and run this asset base, that incremental capital that gets unlocked will allow us to invest in very exciting ways and will allow a lot of these utilities to pursue and to realize a step change improvement in performance.
And you bring it up, if water and wastewater industry can increase its access to capital investment, what are the benefits that end users can expect?
Yes, there are a bunch of benefits here that are exciting to think about. One is increased service quality levels. When we're trying to harvest more and more life out of existing assets, that becomes more difficult to do. It becomes more expensive. It becomes more risky as the assets are approaching the ends of their useful life through different failure mechanisms. And so the risk to broader service level performance is very real, and it grows with time. And so if we can find a way to invest more aggressively in a more targeted fashion, then customers can expect to see a higher sustainable level of service quality from their utilities. We also believe that there will be more predictability around rates. We would be able to more reliably ensure the affordability of these services for everyone in these communities. If we can invest more capably in the capital base, we'll know that we should not have to expect as many surprises in terms of repair and maintenance events that can really be a serious draw on liquidity. And then just a broader resilience. I was talking, the first one I mentioned was an improved average level of service quality, but not just, being resilient to routine failures that you might expect from running assets more heavily. But like we talked about earlier, in a world where climate change is becoming more impactful, on a yearly basis, where these threats to public health are becoming more tangible and more realistic and occurring at wider scale, these resilience to larger macroeconomic and macro-geographic disruptions. This is very important. And I think a greater, more aggressive level of capital investment would allow us to be more resilient to those threats as well.
Well, Jeff, you've certainly given our listeners a lot to think about, and hopefully take those of our listeners who are in the water and wastewater industry, take it in the right direction. We'll put a link to the report in the show notes for this episode, but if anybody listening is interested in finding more about Pinnacle, where can they find you online?
Yes, if you go to pinnaclereliability.com, reliability.com, you can find us there. You can also find Pinnacle has a page on LinkedIn. You can find us there as well. And we're constantly posting updates around all of our publications, all of our webinars, all of our engagements. It's a great way to get in touch and stay in touch.
Well, Jeff, thank you again for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you, Jay. I really appreciate it.
And hopefully we'll see you again.
Yes, sir. I'm counting on it.
In the August issue of NPT, Ann Borries of Welltech Biopower shares how a German sewage treatment plant's conversion to anaerobic sludge stabilization put it on track towards economic and ecological success. Also, a feature article from Atlas Copco's Andreas Newfield illustrates the connection between specific gravity, pressure, power consumption, and pump performance. Lastly, the 94th annual WEFTEC returns to in-person events this fall in Chicago, where water professionals will be able to explore, learn, network, and grow professionally in their connection to the water community. NPT has selected some standout companies for your attention. Check out our choices for featured exhibitors before your trip to the Windy City. All this and more in the latest NPT. This has been The Efficiency Point, a podcast from NPT Magazine. Follow us on Twitter at ModPumpMag for updates on our next episode. Today's episode was produced by Seth Saunders. I'm your host, Jay Campbell. Stay safe, and thanks again for listening.